Hello there. Welcome to Bible Talk. This is a podcast where we're going to read the Bible.
And then we're going to talk about it because it's a podcast for Bible-loving people like me and you. All right. We're in Acts chapter 6, Ivy.
I think it's your turn.
Okay. In verse 1, under the subtitle, if you're in the NIV, The Choosing of the Seven. The Bible reads, in those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Quick pause. What's the difference between a Hellenistic Jew and a Hebraic Jew?
Yeah, you should talk about that.
Okay, great. So a Hellenistic Jew is somebody who had adopted, or a Jew who had adopted the Greek language, the Greek culture, the Greek way of life, but in terms of lineage, they were very much Hebrew, or
right.
They were what we would call Jewish. As to where the Hebraic Jews lived amongst Greek culture, but they remained true to their Hebrew roots and their Hebrew culture.
Okay.
So there was this, you know, if you're looking for a modern thing to compare it to, right? In the United States, for example, you've got people who come from, they're both American, but they come from different cultures, maybe African-American culture versus Asian-American culture or European-American culture. And so we're all Americans, but we've got a little bit of a different experience with it, right?
Right.
Maybe in some ways a significantly different experience with it. And so they weren't getting along. There was favoritism, apparent favoritism that was going on in the daily distribution of food, which was probably just, you know, hey, these women are widows.
Absolutely,
and they could use some help. And we want to do a good thing. We want to provide and meet needs within our fellowship. Sounds like a great idea.
It does.
And it creates a problem.
Yeah. And I think more specifically, like the idea of the Hellenistic Jews were feeling like maybe they were already on the outside a bit because they were the outliers, you know what I mean? Versus like the Hebraic Jews. But the interesting thing was the perception or reality was they were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Like we've got literal widows who don't have food and they happen to all be a part of this subculture.
Yeah, somehow it seems to just be the Hellenistic ones that are
right.
Not getting.
Yeah, yeah. And that was a significant issue. And I love that they, you know, number one, they were honest and they brought it up. They were like, okay, we need to have a family chat about this, you know?
Yeah.
And I love how they decided to handle it going forward there.
Yeah, and I love that it's in the Bible. Like,
yeah.
Here's a problem
right.
or a fault that exists within the fellowship. Don't sweep it under the rug and whatever.
Right.
Record it for all time.
As a warning.
You know, because there are going to be times in our fellowship where things aren't going to be hunky-dory.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we're going to need to make some adjustments. There will be, whether it's intended or not, systemic issues within our fellowship
right.
that will have to be addressed. And so we get a little peek behind the curtain. How
right.
did the early church deal with stuff?
Right.
And
that's
here's
great.
Some stuff. So here we go.
Okay.
Verse 2 says, so the 12, that'd be the 12 apostles,
mm-hmm.
all gathered the disciples together and said, it wouldn't be right for us, the 12 apostles, to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of spirit and wisdom, good spiritual people,
right.
and we will turn this responsibility over to them. And we'll give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word. Let's pause and talk about that.
Okay.
Okay. So the 12, they're the ones who are out doing these miraculous deeds, healing
right.
people, drawing huge crowds, preaching.
Obeying Jesus.
Being persecuted, obeying Jesus.
Right.
And for them to have to personally get involved with making sure everyone gets bread or whatever in the daily distribution of food
right.
for widows. Good ministry.
It's
important
very
ministry,
important.
Very important
yes.
to those widows.
Right.
Important enough to the ones who are being overlooked that they raised a complaint like, hey, this is something we feel like we need.
Yes.
And they don't just blow it off.
Mm-hmm.
But what they do is they gather all the disciples around.
Right.
So that everyone's up to speed. Hey, we see there's a need. We recognize it. We're not ignoring it.
Yeah.
We hear you.
I think it's cool, too, that they were very specific as they explained why it wouldn't be good for them to be the ones to handle it. Like we all have gifts. We all have abilities.
Right.
But, and no one is more important than the other. But to take someone out of that role that they've been given by God.
A unique role. Not everyone could do what the apostles did. Not everyone could do. Matter of fact, very few.
Yes, exactly. And so it would be a misallocation of the gift of the Spirit that they'd received. And so I love the transparency. You're like
using Michael Jordan as your ball boy. Right. Yeah. He could do it.
Fetch my bowl. Yes. Yeah, that would be weird. And the fact that I would be playing basketball at all would probably be even more weird. Yeah. So,
I didn't use a Patrick Mahomes reference.
Yeah. You missed an opportunity there.
I was a Chiefs fan.
So I just love that they were transparent with that. They let the fellowship know, look, this is important, but it would also be a misallocation of what we've been commanded to do. And so they delegated.
They did. So they delegate. So they let everybody know they've been heard. And they say, hey, there's going to be a solution. We're not going to be the ones to meet it personally, but we're right. going to see to it that someone does. And that someone matters. Yeah. We don't want it to just be anyone. It's got to be somebody who is
spiritual
and wise.
Full of the Spirit. Yep.
Right. Full of the Spirit and wisdom. And then we're going to give them the responsibility and let them run with it. And so we pick it back up in verse 5. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, who was a convert to Judaism.
Which is also pretty cool. We can't probably dive into that, but I think that's awesome.
It just simply means that he wasn't Hebrew by birth, mm-hmm. but had converted. He had saw the wisdom of Judaism and had converted to it. And now was
following Jesus,
Rabbi which is like Jesus. Another conversion, or really what should be just seen as an extension. And maybe that's something that's worth a quick mention. Is Christianity different than Judaism, or is Christianity an extension of Judaism?
I think if you don't view the new covenant being given as a hard, fast wipe of the slate and a reset, I believe it's a continuation. Jesus himself was a Jew. He was a devout Jew. And while he was given wisdom from the Spirit, he was still Jewish, not just in lineage, but in how he lived his life. The consciousness with which he moved through his life was one of a Hebrew. And, you know, he was a Jew. So the idea that, you know, Jesus reset everything and everything before that means nothing would be, I think, anti-biblical.
Anti-biblical, not accurate. Yeah, for sure. And I don't think, you know, it's probably surprising to us. Jesus didn't come to start Christianity. Mm-mm. Christianity Mm-mm. is what it's been called. There's nothing wrong necessarily with that label.
Right.
But it's not what Jesus was doing. What he was doing was he was fulfilling the law and the prophets, and he was the long spoken of Messiah or Redeemer that we learn of from the law and the prophets, part of Judaism.
Absolutely.
And so in a very real way, what we call Christianity is it is a continuation of what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God, what it is to be a part of God's people. And it looks very different than Old Covenant Judaism, but it is not completely separate from Judaism.
God is God,
right? Okay, so verse 6, they presented these men to the apostles, who then prayed. And, this is important, laid their hands on them.
Ooh.
Now, when you have an apostle lay their hands on you, it does more than just signify the beginning of this new ministry. It contains the ability, when the apostles would lay their hands on them, we'll see this in several places throughout the book of Acts, it contains the ability to bestow a miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit right. upon the one who had their hands laid on them.
Right.
That gives those people, in many cases, the ability to themselves do miraculous things.
Yes.
Like heal. Or
speak in another language. Understand another language.
Prophesy,
yes.
so on and so forth. And so these individuals who were there just, you know, to oversee the daily distribution of food or bread for the widows in the church
mm-hmm.
weren't just given a responsibility, but they were imparted with potentially. And in some of them we know for sure because we see them go on and do miracles later, like Philip.
Right.
They were given this Holy Spirit ability to do miraculous things.
Right.
So, verse 7, the word of God spread.
Yeah.
And the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith.
That's not a small thing.
Right? Priests in the Jewish faith or in Judaism. People who worked at the temple. The amount of amazing things that they saw and the amount of unity and love they saw amongst the Christians was mm-hmm. very appealing.
Yeah. I love that it starts with, so, you know, like they delegated, they saw this need, they delegated appropriately, and that enabled God to keep doing what he was doing, which was not that he couldn't do it if he wanted to. He could just, you know,
sure.
the rocks could cry out. It's not my point. But in verse 7 here, it says, so the word of God spread. I mean, it's a very short sentence, but it's like, hey, to sum this up, because they handled it this way.
That's right.
They were able to continue to make disciples. And then you see, really, not that any conversion is more important than any other. We're all, as we've been added to the kingdom, children of God at that point. But here you can see that these people are influencers, you know, someone who has the ability, the teaching, the learning to break down the law for people and to offer sacrifices on the altar, you know. And I think that's a powerful example of someone who is probably very, very set in what they know about God because of their upbringing, Hebraic upbringing, but had the humility to respond to the gospel of the kingdom and Christ as king of that kingdom.
Yeah, and sometimes we do run into people who are pretty churched up.
Oh, yeah. Big right? time. Yeah.
And when you introduce new ideas and new thoughts to them from scripture that they mm-hmm. just hadn't seen before or that weren't a part of the way that they were taught it, it can feel intimidating.
Right.
But a good heart is a good heart. And so we should never shy away from, hey, this is what the Bible says, and leave it up to that individual. If they're going to have a good heart, they'll be like these priests, and they'll
respond
it.
To Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. So in verse 8, one of those seven that get named there, a man named Stephen, we'll see what happens with him. Verse 8, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Because remember, he had the apostles' hands mm-hmm. laid upon him. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, well, we heard Stephen speak blasphemous words about Moses and against God, which, of course, he wouldn't have done. But they're trying to politic it. In verse 12, so they stirred up the people, these guys that they secretly persuaded. They put out misinformation and got the people worked up, stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. So they seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, this fellow never stopped speaking against the holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us. All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel.
I don't know what that means, because all of the descriptors of an angel in the scriptures are terrifying.
Well,
I don't know what that means.
Maybe he looks terrifying.
Or maybe it's so beautiful that it's terrifying, because it's something you've never seen before. Like Moses' face glowing. He had to wear a veil, you know?
So Stefan rounded up again for doing good. And then next time we'll get into sort of what comes from him and then of him in chapter 7.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us for this episode. And as always,
do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says.